Welcome to Tycoons of Small Biz, a podcast designed for small business owners, the backbone of the American economy. Join us as our hosts, Austin and Landon, share insights and experiences as small business owners, active investors and operators who have started, bought, sold, and grown several successful businesses. Tycoons is powered by Backbone Planning Partners, a business consulting and wealth management firm built specifically to serve small and medium-sized businesses.
Hello, Tycoons, and welcome to today's episode of Tycoons of Small Biz. I am co-host Austin Peterson, joined by co-host Landon Mance. Welcome to the show. If this is the first time that you're listening to our show, welcome. We're glad you're here. We hope you find some benefit and some value here. We've been doing this for a long time. We've been doing it for almost 5 years now and about 200 episodes in. So we'll actually be celebrating that here relatively soon. So we're excited about that. But what we do here is we either share experiences, we share stories, we share whatever that we can do to help build up the small business owner community. It's something that we believe in wholeheartedly. We believe it's the backbone of the American economy, and whatever we can do to help support the small business owner community or medium-sized business owner community in our country, we're going to do it. So that's why we do it. Hopefully you appreciate it. Landon, welcome to the show. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. So that's why we're called Backbone Planning Partners. Wondered about that.
Yeah. I thought you'd figure it out at some point. It's only been 5 years or so. So today we're going to talk about smart tax planning. So we're going to kind of share some case studies of what we've done to kind of help business owners save big with their tax planning. Here's my philosophy, Landon, and then I'll kind of let you talk a little bit more about what we're doing here. But here's what I've seen. So I've been doing this for about 25 years and working with business owners. I find that they fall in one of two camps. They either aren't doing any tax planning at all, and so they're paying way more in tax than they should be. They're just not taking advantage of things. They don't know what they don't know. Their CPA is not somebody who specializes in working with small business owners, so they're not identifying certain things that they can take advantage of, etc. Or on the other side, they're taking way too much advantage of what the tax code allows them to do, and they're running everything that they possibly can through the business, and they're lowering the profitability of the business from a tax standpoint, which then has its own issues. And so maybe we'll kind of touch on that a little bit as well. But we're here to talk about tax planning and savings and different things that maybe aren't taken advantage of often enough. So Landon, kind of just give us a little bit more of an intro.
Yeah. Yep. Don't let the tax tail wag the dog. My mic drop. That's it. I'm done.
He had to get it in there.
Yep, I did. So you're absolutely right. Most business owners do fall into one of those two camps. We see that day in and day out. I also see that day in and day out as we are looking to acquire businesses at the fund level that we have set up. So vast majority of business owners absolutely fall into one or two of those camps. And in most cases, in our personal and professional lives, it's probably somewhere in the middle where most people need to land. So we are going to talk through how do we get more into the middle and have a healthier balance of being strategic in the tax planning that you do in your business and allocating dollars to things that actually matter.
Yeah. I mean, listen, nobody wants to pay more taxes than they have to. And I've used the phrase with clients for years that there's nothing patriotic about paying more than your fair share. So that's not a political statement. Doesn't matter which side of the aisle you sit on. There's nothing patriotic about paying more than what you need to pay. So we certainly want to minimize that. But at the same time, if we're saving on taxes, retaining more profit, using those dollars to reinvest the business, that's great. But then we also have to be focused on, as business owners, building wealth. Because here's the thing, you got to take care of your own personal wealth. But if you're ultimately building the business to be sold at some point in the future, you got to be real careful with the tax planning that you do as well, because it could really come back to bite you in the butt when it comes time to sell. And you've run it so lean from a profit standpoint that nobody sees the value in your business. So you just have to be real careful to find that middle ground, like you said. So let's jump in, Landon. We're gonna share some real client success stories. As a disclaimer, I wanna make sure that you understand these are anonymized case studies. Results for anybody who's listening will vary. Everybody's situation is different, and always consult a tax professional when it comes to using certain strategies. So Landon, you wanna kick us off with case study number one?
Yeah, for sure. Just before I do that, not to continue on with the disclaimer, but just to add a note to the importance of that, because there is almost no such thing as like blanket tax advice. People will ask us how a specific tax situation or loophole or code in the IRS or whatever, like how is it applicable to them because their friend or colleague did this or that. And it really is incredibly unique and individualized to each person's situation, how your business is structured, how you pull out income, how your business is taxed, what deductions, expenses you have on your business balance sheet and your personal balance sheet. So there's just a million different things that you have to take into consideration. That's why it's important to not only obviously loop your tax person in before you make any decisions, but also your other advisors that have information that's pertinent to your situation. So, all right, enough of that. Okay, so case study number one. We are talking about a person that owns a franchise in the food and beverage industry. The annual revenue for this particular franchisee is in the $20 to $30 million annual range. And they've got, depending on the day, they've got anywhere from, I think on the low end, maybe 180 up to 220, 230 employees. Again, it does vary quite a bit, because in the food and beverage industry, especially in the retail space, you'll have, you know, big ebbs and flows of employees. All right. So the challenge here, the situation that arose here was a unit, a location was sold, and another unit was started almost simultaneously. So the one that was started was another unit that was basically a ground up situation. And we get into the results, Austin, anything else we need to mention in properly setting the stage here?
No, I mean, you kind of hinted to the fact that they own multiple locations. So it's more than one location that adds up to the revenue, the numbers that you talked about, the employees. And so, yeah, they sold a location that had been running for a number of years, that they had owned for a number of years. And then they were opening a brand new location that had not operated previously.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that, because there are some other considerations around the new location opening. And the consideration there is that there is significant investment that needs to be made into that unit opening in the first year. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars of investment has to go into opening that unit in the first year, just due to capital investments, et cetera.
Yep, for sure.
Yep. Okay, so now obviously capital improvements and building out a standalone location, that has nothing to do with us, right? Of course, the client is going to get tax savings from that because they are investing a lot of money to get a location open. So we are more focused on the tax savings that we were able to help realize from the sale of a unit. Austin, what was the total tax bill, like approximately, what was the total tax bill the client was kind of staring down the barrel of?
Yeah, so the estimate from their CPA out of the gates based on capital gains and depreciation recapture from the previous location that was being sold, plus their normal operations, et cetera, was about $1.2 million that they were expecting to have to pay.
Yep. Okay. Got it. All right. So in this particular scenario, we're gonna give a range here because we still don't know the exact dollar amount because taxes have not been finalized for calendar year 2024. But we know that for this particular situation, we were able to help save this client between $200,000 and $300,000 in taxes in the first year, which was calendar year 2024. So Austin, you want to talk about some of the things that we did to help arrive at that $200,000 to $300,000 a year savings?
Yeah, sure. So we obviously the big thing that we have going for us is that this was a current client of ours. So we understood a little bit about their situation. We understood how they viewed things. We understood what was important to them, which is always super important. Nobody should ever be leading with advice. So if you're talking to a tax professional or a financial professional and they're giving you advice before they know enough about your situation, you should run for the door. But because we did know that this particular person had some charitable inclinations, things that they wanted to do from a charitable standpoint, an understanding of the way some other parts of the tax code work, specifically from an oil and gas standpoint, which are some different things that we've deployed in the past, as well as, like, I'm forgetting one. Oh yeah, an inclination to have some investment in real estate and an understanding of real estate just due to their other background. So with those three things that we kind of knew, that led us down a path of, okay, what can we do to minimize some taxes today? What can we do to defer some of those taxes? And what can we do that will make some of the growth on those funds tax-free in the future? So we kind of looked at it through that lens. And do you want me to go into some of the solutions that we did, or you want to talk about those?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we have time. Yeah, we definitely don't have time to go into them. But essentially, you've mentioned like what they are, right? So for this particular situation, which again, we know this situation intimately, as it's been a client we've been working with for many, many years. So this is what made sense for them. So for people that don't know, oil and gas investments can help reduce your current income, taxable income. Yeah. Can help reduce your taxable income. Again, there's different kinds of oil and gas investments, so just be aware of that. But for developmental ones particularly, they can help reduce your taxable income. So we implemented an oil and gas type investment. We did some qualified opportunity zone, which for those of you that don't know, Google it, do a little bit of research, but it can help to reduce capital gains on some kind of a capital asset being sold. And then we also did some charitable planning. And essentially the charitable planning, the strategy there was, look, we know that this client is charitably inclined. So rather than do a little bit in a given year, we did a lot a bit in this year because we knew that we would get a lot more bang for our buck. So it's kind of like it's called a bunching strategy. So instead of doing little bits every year for the next 3 years, we did a lot of it in a single year and will probably not do subsequent charitable donations in some following years because we wanted to really take advantage of it more in a given year.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, if you're somebody who gives to charity or your church or whatever, and you have some sort of an event that is abnormal, so more income in one given year than normal, then think about bunching some of your charitable gifts to take care of gifts into the future, because it will reduce your income in that given year. So yeah, great, great recap there of those strategies. So we want to jump to case study number two.
Yep. Yep.
All right. Let's do it. You want to lay it out? You want me to lay it out?
Yeah. Yeah. You lay it out. I'll jump in.
Okay. All right. So this one has to do with a divorce. So this unfortunately happens a lot with business owners. The incidence of divorce in our country, it's a big issue regardless. We know about 50% of all marriages end in divorce, but it's higher than that as a business owner, just due to some of the stresses that go along with being a business owner. And so unfortunately, this client went through a divorce. The spouse was not involved in the day-to-day running of the business, but did have ownership of the business. And so the client of ours wanted to be able to retain ownership of the business, but still be able to take care of the settlement from the divorce. So we helped structure a buyout plan of that ex-spouse that will allow the spouse to be bought out over a number of years. And then our client can still maintain ownership of their business. It reduces the capital gains to the client. It also simultaneously reduces and eliminates some tax for the ex-spouse, because they'll be receiving the payout as non-taxable alimony payments. So it did actually end up benefiting on both sides. And then we did do some qualified opportunity zone investments, like we mentioned in the past, to defer some of the taxes due. And one thing that Landon didn't mention in the last segment is, if the client holds a qualified opportunity zone investment for 10 years, all of the growth in that investment becomes tax-free. So mm-hmm. It's similar to a Roth IRA in that aspect. So there's a long-term benefit to not just the short-term reducing / deferring taxes for a given year.
Yeah. Really good point. I think that QOZs, qualified opportunity zones, are a bit on the chopping block at the moment. I'm not sure if the Trump administration has released any updates or not on whether there's going to be some changes. It sounds like we just don't necessarily know what those look like quite yet, but we know that there is a chance that the benefits of qualified opportunity zones may be extended, or
extended is the right word.
Yeah. Extended. Okay. Yeah. Cause they are set to kind of go away. And so they're going to kind of revitalize that potentially. So we'll see what happens there. One of the other things that I think is important to mention here, Austin, is the fact that there's no way to eliminate the taxes that were due in this particular situation. And almost in any particular situation, it is incredibly difficult to be able to eliminate all the taxes due and to check all the other boxes that are important to people, because they want to get some cash, they want to pay no taxes, they want to defer some growth, et cetera, et cetera. So it's very challenging to check all of the boxes. And in this particular situation, there is no possible way that all of the boxes could have been checked that we all hope for in a situation, because there had to be some liquidity left over to pay taxes. So that was a really vital part of this plan, is that we needed to ensure that there was a very large chunk of money that was essentially 100% liquid, so that when Uncle Sam came knocking right about now in the next couple of weeks, that the client was going to be in a situation, what was going to be properly set up to be able to pay a very large six-figure tax bill, because there's no getting around that was going to happen. Our job was to get with the other advisors, specifically the tax advisors, so that we can do some education and we can be informed as to what was going to transpire, and then put a plan together, which includes some recommendations and some suggestions in concert with their tax advisors to see what made the most sense, and then to execute and get those strategies implemented before the end of the calendar year, which in this particular situation was 2024.
Yeah, all very good points. I mean, the reality is eliminating tax, it's very rare to be able to find a way to eliminate taxes altogether, right? And if you do find a way to do that, there's typically a negative consequence in some way, shape, or form, whether it's just liquidity or something else, right? Something I think that's kind of important to mention here, and you touched on it a little bit. So coordinating with all of the advisors is super important because you do need a tax professional to sign off. So your tax professional, if you're listening to this as a business owner, your tax professional and your financial advisor should know each other and should be meeting together at least on an annual basis, and definitely when something like this comes up. Because one, you're not getting advice in a vacuum from one or the other and then taking it back and trying to regurgitate it and not giving the full information. But two, you've got two of your professionals together giving you advice, and one can say, well, I see why you're thinking that, but are you aware that this is going on in their personal life, or are you aware that this is going on in their business that may make that not as beneficial to them? So what if we did this instead? And then the two professionals can kind of go back and forth and come to the best solution for the client. And I kind of mentioned this at the beginning, like a lot of tax professionals are not specifically equipped or specialized in working with business owners. And on top of that, they don't always know about all of the benefits that are available out there from an investment standpoint to reduce taxes. Mm-hmm. And so we find ourselves in our role for our clients, educating these tax professionals on how it works, why it works. Sometimes we get pushback. Sometimes they tell us that we're wrong, and I'll push back, or Landon will push back and we'll say, actually, no, I know for certain that what I'm telling you is correct. We've used it multiple times with other clients. Here's the tax code, or else I can send you a piece to show you that what we're talking about is actually correct. Because the reality is it's impossible for every professional to know about every particular thing that's possible. Our tax code in our country is extremely complex. And so that's why having more than one professional is completely beneficial. So make sure that that is happening in your financial life and in your tax life. The other thing that I kind of feel like is important to mention here is throughout this process, we as a firm were able to retain a relationship with both of these spouses. And that doesn't always happen, and it's not always in the best interest of the spouses for that to happen. But we were able to navigate that in a way that benefited both spouses the way that they wanted it to benefit them. And so both of them chose to retain. And so we split. So one of us advised one spouse and the other one advised the other spouse and acted in their best interest. We disclosed that there's technically a conflict because we're one firm, but we tried to mitigate that by having each of us work with each of those spouses and advocate for each of those spouses and what they were trying to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And so most important for one was retaining full ownership of the business. And the other one was that they got their fair share and that we minimized their taxes as much as we possibly could. And we accomplished that on both fronts. And both clients are extremely happy with our services at this point and continue to engage with us as a firm, with the full knowledge that we work with both spouses.
Yep. Good point. All right. So in conclusion, let's talk about some key takeaways and some kind of actionable strategies that people can take away from here and consider. A couple like easy little nuggets to grab onto. Reviewing your entity structure, whether you're a sole prop or a C-corp or anywhere in between, each different entity structure has very different tax implications. And sometimes switching from one to another can save you thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars, even per year, potentially. So reviewing your entity structure, that's kind of an easy one to kind of grab hold of. Obviously, that needs to be done very thoughtfully and strategically with your tax professional. Maximizing deductions. You heard me say, don't let the tax tail wag the dog. This is the prime kind of example. You don't want to just spend money to reduce your taxes because it has other implications that are not, they're just not generally very smart. So maximizing deductions, yes, it is about reinvesting in your business to buy new vehicles, to do this or that, but it's got to be a genuine need for what you are trying to do with your business. Growth is very, very expensive when you are trying to grow your business. So you got to do it thoughtfully. You got to consider the not only the tax implications, but the cash flow implications as well, because that's a big one. Using retirement plans, you've got all kinds of different retirement plans, SEP IRAs, solo Ks, you got defined benefit plans, defined contribution plans. So again, that needs to be done in concert with your financial advisor, assuming that they really understand the different retirement plans for businesses. And then planning quarterly, not just annually, can have really significant implications, because generally what happens with a lot of us small business owners is we have maybe one conversation with our CPA, and it's generally November or December. And we're saying, okay, this is what we've made so far. What do we need to do at year end to reduce our tax bill? Not a great strategy. So planning quarterly, at least semi-annually. So at a very minimum, get together with your team of advisors around June, July, and say, okay, this is where we are. We're halfway through the year. So we know what's in the rearview mirror, but let's look forward out the windshield to do a little bit of proactive planning. Because if you're having a really big growth year and you're going from $1 million of EBITDA or profit to 2 million because you signed a huge new contract or you hired a really great new salesperson and they kind of catapulted your business to the next level, those are great times to be meeting at least biannually with your advisors to kind of think about what are some things that you can do the second half of the year that makes sense for the business, but oh yeah, also help to reduce the tax bill.
Yeah, great points, Landon. I think sometimes we wait till the end, and like you said, sometimes the advice is just, hey, buy something. Well, I met with some clients yesterday. They're in a cash flow crunch now because they bought something at the end of the year. From a cash flow standpoint, it was a terrible decision. And here's the thing, federal only, I'm not talking state because every state is different, but federal only, every dollar that you spend on something is to save 37 cents maximum on taxes. So it's got to fit cash flow wise too. It's not just about tax strategy. Like you said, don't let the tax tail wag the dog. So just keep that in mind. So we're coming to the end here. Basically, I want to say we're in tax season now. So for last year, most of the stuff, it's too late. There are a couple things you can do to potentially reduce some taxes still from last year, but basically that has kind of run its course. But our plea would be, don't wait until the end of this year to plan for this year. Start planning now, right? So if you want some personalized guidance on a business side, tax side, financial planning, estate, succession planning, exit planning, schedule a consultation with us. Check us out at backboneplanning.com or email us directly, admin@backboneplanning.com. Subscribe to Tycoons of Small Biz. Listen, rate us, review us, do anything that you can to kind of engage with us on the tycoon side. So here's the reality. I mean, if I were to recap today, it's not just about paying less. It's about keeping more to invest in your business, but also growing the enterprise value of your business long term. So don't just focus on lowering taxes. Focus on strategically using that to grow the value of your business. And that would be the best way that I could say that you should be using tax planning in your business.
So eloquent you are, sir. So eloquent. All right. Join us next Wednesday. I'm sorry, not next Wednesday. Join us Wednesday, April 19th. It's going to be 10:30 Mountain Time for our next Tycoons episode. We're going to be talking about from growth to liquidity, understanding your business as a wealth building asset. So again, thank you for joining us. Follow along, rate us, share the podcast, do all that stuff. We really appreciate it. We are on a mission to help educate the SMB community around all things kind of building wealth, tax strategy, like Austin said, exit plan and succession, all the things that are really, really important to build up our personal and business balance sheet. So to your success, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
You've been listening to Tycoons of Small Biz, a podcast for small business owners by small business owners. Be sure to follow us on our social media channels for links to all our episodes and great content around growing, investing in, buying, and selling small businesses. This podcast is distributed for informational purposes only. Statements made in the podcast are not to be construed as personalized investment or financial planning advice, may not be suitable for everyone, and should not be considered as solicitation to engage in any particular investing or planning strategy. Listeners should conduct their own review and exercise judgment, or consult with their professional financial advisor to see how the information contained in this podcast may apply to their own individual circumstances. All investing involves risk of loss, including the possible loss of principal. Past performance does not guarantee future results, and nothing in this podcast should be construed as a guarantee of any specific outcome or profit. All market indices discussed are unmanaged, do not incur management fees, costs, and expenses, and cannot be invested into directly. Investment advisory services offered by Backbone Planning Partners, LLC. Neither Backbone Planning Partners, LLC, nor its representatives provide legal or accounting advice. The content of this podcast represents the views and opinions of Austin Peterson and Landon Mance, and or the podcast guest, and do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Backbone Planning Partners, LLC. Statements made in this podcast are subject to change without notice. Neither Backbone Planning Partners, LLC, nor its representatives, the podcast host, or its guests have an obligation to provide revised statements in the event of changed circumstances.